Take your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 6 tonight. This is a familiar story. It's another sign or miracle that that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000. And again, we'll talk about it. It could have been a lot more than 5,000. But you remember when we started the Gospel of John, we talked about that it was written to show the signs and show the miracles that Jesus did for a very specific purpose. And John records that purpose in chapter 20 when he says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And so the miracles were recorded in the Gospel of John so that every person that read it would believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, we might have life, life eternal, through his name. Now, in verse 4, it says, in John chapter 6, verse 4, and we're going to come back to verse 1 in just a minute, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." So it was Passover time. In John chapter 5, verse 1, it talked about a feast of the Jews. Now, that feast is not specified in John chapter 5, but most people think it was the Passover as well. If it was, a year has expired between John chapter 5 and John chapter 6. You remember in John chapter 5, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover. In John chapter 6, he's in Galilee, okay? He's in Galilee. And John doesn't say anything between chapter 5 and chapter 6 about Jesus leaving Jerusalem, leaving Judea, and going to Galilee. But the other Gospels do. In fact, the other Gospels record after he left Jerusalem, after healing the lame man at the pool of Bethesda at the pool in Jerusalem, that there were two, and again, remember when he did that, he was accused of Sabbath breaking. Between John chapter 5 and John chapter 6, as recorded in the other Gospels, there were two other occasions where the rulers of the Jews got on Jesus for Sabbath breaking. And it appears that there were a group of Pharisees that followed him when he left Jerusalem for that specific purpose, to keep their eye on him to see if he was going to break the Sabbath any further. But the events in John chapter 6 occur in what they call Jesus' Galilean ministry. Altogether, he was in Galilee for about 18 months. And in that time, his popularity with the Galileans grew, but the hatred of the Jewish leaders and the intensity of their hatred for Jesus grew at that same time. It was during this time that John the Baptist was beheaded, and it was during this time that Herod Antipas came to believe that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. I mean, again, it's not recorded in the book of John, but in the other Gospels, when he heard about the work, the miracles that Jesus was doing, he said, "Is this? I beheaded John. I killed John. Is this John come back to life working these miracles?" But while he was in Galilee, he left four different times. He went north twice and he went east twice. And we're going to talk about one of the times tonight that he went east. And there were a couple different reasons why he left Galilee at different times. First of all, he wanted to get out from Herod Antipas. I mean, he wanted to get out of the area that he ruled. He wanted to escape the Jewish religious leaders. Again, their hatred was growing for him. He wanted to get away from the crowd that was becoming fanatical about making him king. Now, we're not going to get to it, well, probably until next week, but when he feeds the 5,000, the people that were there after they saw the miracle, they wanted to make him king right there. I mean, he had to send the disciples away, and then he just had to walk away from the crowd because when they saw what he did, they were ready to anoint him king, which would have brought, I mean, and he was about a year away from the end of his ministry, and he wanted to get away from those people to let their passion die down a little bit. But probably the most important reason was that he wanted to get to a place where it would be just him and the disciples so that he could teach them at a deeper level. They still did not understand the nature of his ministry, so to speak. They still labored under the idea that he was going to become the Messiah, the king that overthrew the Roman rule. And they needed to understand, yeah, that was going to happen, but not this time. It was going to happen later, but not in their lifetime. That he was going to have to go to the cross and he was going to have to die for our sins. And then there was a practical reason. In this time of year, it got hot around the Sea of Galilee. And he would go up to the mountains to get away from the heat of the sea. And so we start in verse 1 of chapter 6, where John starts out, after these things. Now, we've run into that phrase a couple times already in the book of John. It comes from the Greek words meta tauta. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean the things that are recorded in John chapter 6 happened immediately after the things that happened in John chapter 5. In fact, there was probably close to a year between the two. But John, so to speak, is trying to tie in to the other Gospels, okay? This event is recorded in the other Gospels. In fact, this is an event that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's done it before, but this will be the last time that he ties into the other Gospels until Jesus gets into Jerusalem the last week of his life, okay? Everything else is unique to John. And so it says there, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, he probably added that last phrase there, the Sea of Tiberias, for his Gentile leaders, because Herod Antipas, who was the ruler of that region, had built a capital city called Tiberias on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And again, the Sea of Galilee, it was a large inland lake. It's sort of pear-shaped, okay? Pear-shaped. It's 13 miles long, 7 miles across at its widest point. It's 780 feet below sea level, okay? And you go up from the Sea of Galilee and you go into the mountains just about on every side. And so this is where Jesus was. Again, not right after he was in Jerusalem, probably a year had passed, but he went over the Sea of Galilee to leave the area of Galilee. And again, he was hoping to be alone with his disciples, okay? The direction he went was populated. There were 10 Greek cities that were there, and the region was known as Decapolis, so 10 different cities. But in the other Gospels, like in Matthew and Mark, they describe it as a deserted area. And so even though it was a populated area, Jesus took his disciples up into the mountains, again, so they could be alone, so that he could teach them. In that area, it was ruled by Herod Philip, okay? And so it wasn't under the Herod that he wanted to get away from. And so he thought they could be alone, but that wasn't to be. Look at verse 2. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he had did on them, that were diseased. Okay? So, again, they'd heard about, not everything that Jesus did is recorded in the book of John. We read some of the signs that he did are not recorded here. But, for example, we read in Mark chapter 2, he went into Capernaum. He healed the whole city. I mean, everybody that was sick came to the house where he was staying. People couldn't get in. They were lined around. The Bible says he healed every person that was diseased, every person that was sick. I mean, you know, if Jesus were alive today and went into any of the hospitals, he could empty them all out. I mean, there's no case too hard for him. I mean, he could heal everybody. That's what he did. People heard about it. And so when they heard that he crossed the Sea of Galilee and was going into this place, they followed him. because I'm sure there might have been some sick people in the crowd, that people might have brought some of their relatives that were diseased. Jesus, it's not recorded that he healed anybody on this particular instance, but they wanted to be close to him just in case he did. It says in verse 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Again, trying to get them by themselves. But from that vantage point, high in the mountain, he could see the crowd approaching. He could see the multitude approaching. Now, again, we're going to talk about the number, but the Bible talks about feeding 5,000 in the book of John. In the book of Luke, either in Matthew or Luke, and we'll get to it in a minute, it's in my notes, it says he fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children. So as he sat there on the mountain, hoping to be along with his disciples, he looks down the mountain. Here comes a crowd of between 5 and 15,000 people up the mountain wanting to be with him. I mean, it wasn't just a little crowd of, you know, a couple hundred people. You get a crowd of 5 to 15,000 people together, you're going to notice that they're coming. And so Jesus saw this crowd coming. Verse 4, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, the other Gospels record that Jesus made this need for food known to the 12. And some of the 12, he said, we're going to get food to feed all this crowd. And it doesn't say who said it. Could have been Peter, could have been Judas, I don't know. But one of them said, send them into town. Let's send them away, send them into town, send them to the farms, let them buy their own food. And Jesus, in those Gospels, it's recorded, no, you feed them. You feed them. That's probably where John picks up the story. So he asks Philip, he says, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? Now, it says in verse 6, and this he said to prove him, to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew. I mean, the disciples didn't know yet. There was a little boy there with a lunch with 5 little pieces of bread and 2 fish, and that he was going to break that and feed all these people and fill them up. But Jesus knew. And so he was testing Philip's faith. And here's what Philip says. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. A penny worth is a denarii. In today's money, it's about worth 17 cents, but back then it was a day's wage, okay? So 200 would have been about $34 today, not much, okay? You couldn't buy much food for 34 bucks, but back then it was 200 days of wages, okay? And Philip said, again, it speaks to the size of the crowd. Speaks to the size of the crowd. He said, look, if we had 200 days of wages, we couldn't buy enough food so that everybody could have just a little bit, just a sampling. And so then verse 8 talks about, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And so Jesus apparently told his disciples, hey, scout out the crowd, see if anybody's got food. Now again, it was probably the middle of the afternoon, okay? People hadn't eaten since breakfast, and apparently nobody brought any food with them, because when they scouted out the crowd, the only person that had any food at all was a little boy. Now, somebody says there were actually 2 miracles worked that day. One of the miracles was that Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish to feed the 5,000 men and all the women and the children. The other miracle was that this little boy hadn't eaten his lunch by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? You know, little boys, they like to eat their lunch on time, but he hadn't eaten his. Barley bread, as it says there, have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, that was the food of the poor. The fish were probably pickled or dried. They were about the size of sardines. How many of you have ever eaten a sardine? You know what I'm talking about, a sardine?
My dad ate them all the time. I hated them. But they're not that big. Sardines are small. So you got five small pieces of bread, two small sardines. His mother had probably prepared this lunch for him before he left the morning. And so as the disciples scouted out the crowd, it was Andrew. It's interesting that it was Andrew. Andrew was always bringing somebody to Jesus. And so Andrew says, hey, here's a little boy. He's got his lunch. It's not much. Won't do much to feed this crowd. I mean, probably not even enough for him. Just five little pieces of bread and two small fish. And so what are they among so many? I mean, Andrew's faith wasn't very much at all either. He said, you know, we look for food. There's not any here. I mean, here's a little lunch, but, you know, this not going to do any good with all these people. And so he, Andrew, and all the other disciples were surprised when Jesus said, make the men sit down. Verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. John doesn't mention the women and the children. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21, says there were 5,000 men besides women and children. Now, if this was a typical Baptist meeting, and we know it was a Baptist meeting because they ate, okay? Women and children outnumber the men usually 2 to 1. And so that's why I've been using a number between 5 and 15,000. 5,000 men, 10,000 women and children, 15,000 people. Jesus said, make them sit down. Make the men sit down. Now, in the book of Luke, I think it is, he said, make them sit down in groups of 50. Okay? I believe Jesus was an organized person. I believe everything he did was organized. It was decent and in order. Here's another example of it. And so in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he had prayer, and then he began to break it, and he began to pass it out to his disciples, and his disciples began to pass it out to the groups of people that were setting down. And the Bible says, as much as they would. So they could take as much as they wanted to take. He did the same thing with the fish. He took the two fish, he blessed it, and he began to break it and passed it to his disciples, and his disciples passed it to the crowd. Now, I'm sure there were some little children in the crowd. I'm sure there were some ladies that did not eat much. Okay? But I'm sure there were some men that ate as much as they could. The people that clean the church every second Friday, we go to the fish fry up here at the church up just up the road here, and a couple of them try to outdo each other. I mean, they're pretty good sized fish. They're cod. I mean, they're about this long, and they'll eat 15 or 16 pieces. Erica, your grandpa is one of them, but I mean, your great grandpa is one of them. So I'm sure there were some men in the crowd, you know, that tried to outdo it. Oh, I bet you I can eat more than you can. Oh, yeah. And so, but it says as much as they would. Okay. So let's look at the next verse. When they were filled, so everybody was filled. Everybody got to eat as much as they wanted to eat. And then Jesus said, okay, go gather up what remained. Now, these were not scraps that, you know, people took a bite off the fish and then put it. This was food that was not eaten at all. And so the disciples gathered up 12 baskets. Now, let me just, the Jews had a custom that when you ate and you were served by somebody, you always saved part of your food to give back to the server. Okay? So apparently, that's what they did in this crowd. They took food, but following the custom, they saved some to give to those that served them, who were the 12 disciples. And so they each had a basket full of food left, when they got through serving. That basket was called a coffinus. And again, there was another custom. Whenever the Jews traveled, they all, and I don't know why they didn't when they came here, but they always took a basket of food so they never have to buy food from a Gentile. They would always have food with them. In fact, a Roman writer named Juvenal wrote of the Jews, said they always carried their basket and their hay. The basket, they had their food, again, so they wouldn't have to buy food from a Gentile. The hay was to make their bed at night. So they always had what they needed. So don't know if the disciples had their hay, but they had their basket full of food after they got done that day. Now, what about, I've often thought about that boy, that little boy. You know, I think about somebody probably the age of Aaron, 10 years old, okay? And I think Aaron, if he was in a situation like that, would have shared his lunch. But I would have loved to have been in his home that night to hear the story he told his mother. Amen. I mean, I would have loved to hear him. In fact, you know, this is one of those things, I got this list of things I think I'm going to do when I get to heaven. If I remember them, I'm going to do them. But one of the things on my list is I want to look up that little boy. I said, I want to ask you, did your mom believe your story when you got home? You took a little lunch, probably, you know, just enough to sort of kill your appetite a little bit, and you got to, here's what I think, and this is my opinion, not in the Bible. I think Jesus, when Andrew brought him to Jesus, I think that little boy was close enough to Jesus that he could hear his prayer, and he watched as Jesus broke that bread. He watched as Jesus broke those fish. He watched as he passed them out, and he just watched. And I can just imagine when he got home, Mom, you just will never, ever believe it, what happened to me today. I wonder if she believed the story. The little bit that we have. So here's a couple points from tonight, and then we're done. The little bit that we have goes a long way with our big God. Amen. We may say, like Andrew, I've got nothing. What can be done with what I have to meet the need that I see? And yet, when we're willing to share what we have with our big God, miracles can be done. And point number two, I wonder if we don't see more miracles than we do today because we're not willing to share the little bit that we have. Not because we're selfish, but because we don't have any faith. Amen. Because we don't think God can use it. If there's one thing we ought to learn from this story, is that God can take what we have, even though it may not be much, and use it to bless thousands of people. I believe he can still do that today. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back here. Ladies will be praying back here. If you'd like to join them, please do that. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.